Thank you for dropping by. If this is your first time joining us, on Weird Awakenings, we discuss anomalous phenomena, the strange, the curious, the extraordinary, the bizarre. Throw in the occasional conspiracy theory, and you get us. Cecil, Hadley, Stephen, Tully, and myself, Morgana, just a few of the weird kids. Weird Awakenings is a part of the Weird Realities Network. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to our channels. We can be found at linktree.com/weirdrealities. That's weird with a Y. Okay, gang, grab those tinfoil hats and let's get weird. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Weird Awakenings. We are so glad you could be with us tonight. We've got our usual suspects, minus Mr. Tully. He is taking a break tonight. And we've also got our wonderful weird friend, Mr. Joe Hansen. And we have our new weird friend, Miss Sherry. Welcome.
I thought Tully was doing an exhibition at the Chippendales.
They have a reunion.
He was, but I felt like we just wait until the pictures next week.
He had retired from that a couple of years ago. He goes back every once in a while for tips.
No, that's research. He's going back for research.
That's it. Hi, Landa. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, everybody.
So, yes, he's, I think, gone to see Grandma this weekend, so we'll forgive him.
That's what they call it now, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, we respect everyone's choice to use the excuse they want to. That's right. All right. Well, everybody, tonight we're going to be talking about dreams and nightmares. So that ought to be really interesting. We'll delve into, what science kind of thinks about what caused some and everything, and everybody's on interpretation. So we're glad you could join us for this.
Yep.
All right. So everybody doing good?
What?
Doing good?
Oh yeah, doing good.
Doing good.
Morgana, the Southern Kentucky accents are wearing off on you because it sounded like everything going good.
You got it that quick, didn't you?
You know, here's the thing. Tully and I have this ongoing contest over whether Mississippi or Kentucky has the most insane people. So he'll send me a news story and say, did you see this one? And I'm like, okay, Kentucky's ahead. And then I'll find one and send it to him. He's like, okay, you guys win. So that's been going on for months now.
Just ask me.
I can join that and we'll win.
Yeah, just go ahead and ask me and I'll go to Clay County and take some pictures.
Until Florida Man shows up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. We're not completely Florida. You know what's so awesome? I'm actually originally a Florida man, and now I'm a Clay County man. So it's like two crazy things happening at once. It's weird.
That's exactly right. Well, I've about come to the conclusion that, Mississippi and Kentucky are brother and sister. You know, we've both got our fair share of crazy, and they're about tit for tat in there.
Kentucky and Georgia's brother and sister, and they hooked up and made West Virginia.
Oh man, that's why my people left there.
Says Mr. Arkansas.
Yeah, that we're really a step above.
That's right. And don't get me wrong, like I said, I love my home state. There is so much beauty here and so much magic, but then there's also the crazy that goes with, you can't have one without the other.
Right.
So I guess I'll take it. I mean, I've been here 53 of my 55 years, so I must like it.
Yeah. I hear people talk about the southern states and I do get jealous about the weather and the foliage, and it's beautiful going down there, but I got one argument.
Okay.
Minnesota, no poisonous snakes, no poisonous spiders, no large insects, no, we have none of the pests or anything, no alligators, no sharks.
Well, what do you do for fun?
Mosquitoes.
Well, Minnesota's kind of a kind of a drinking state with a fishing problem.
Yeah, and I will let you have our weather, Joe, to be perfectly honest. I'm that anomaly. I hate summer. I hate the heat. There's nothing about it I like. So,
well, you're cooking over there at 120 degrees is why.
I know. That probably has a little bit to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah,
next time we're at 30 below, I'll open up my guest room to you.
Okay.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm sweating right now because it's so cold. And if you walk outside, like, you instantly start sweating. It's like you walk into a pool of sweat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think we topped that at 106 here today. So.
Yeah.
It was nice.
All right. None of this has anything to do with dreams.
No, it does not. I'm dreaming of wintertime, Joe. All right, so dreams. According to science, dreams are the stories and images that our minds create while we sleep that help us deal with our day-to-day stresses. They say that even though most people or a lot of people do not remember what they've dreamed or if they've dreamed, it's thought that everyone dreams between 3 and 6 times per night. Dreams can last anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes at a time, and 95% of them are forgotten by the time a person gets out of bed. You know, of course, there's always that scientific, but then there's the other side of that. You know, what do dreams tell us? You know, can they be a foreseeing? Can they be memories? So what do you think?
Well, I should let y'all know anything. What I think.
I don't know that the reaction to dreams are always positive, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some dreams that I've had that are not the least bit positive, and it's best to just forget them, you know, if you remember them at all. A lot of times, I mean, haven't you woken up in the middle of the night, panic, but you can't remember why? The dream's already gone, but, you know, so... Yep. I don't know. I think it comes down to how much stock do you put in dreams. I think there is a bit of clairvoyance attached to it, but I don't know how accurate that clairvoyance is. And I'm experimenting with this in my current novel I'm writing. But, I mean, you can get information in your dream that is happening in your life right now. But any single thing out there can change the result of that situation. So your dream could be totally inaccurate by the time the event that was prompted came about. Am I making sense or am I?
Well, that's making perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
So, what do you think?
Can I share my recent experience?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, y'all remember a few weeks ago I told y'all about my dream that I had where my male friend was in the car with me, my mom, and my grandparents, my mother's parents. And we were driving to Vicksburg, and there was some land that he and I were going to buy. And it had an Indian burial ground on it. It was an Indian burial mound. And I was saying, I don't know if we should buy here because there's an Indian, you know, it was very prominent in the dream. It was huge. It was like a mountain. And the gentleman was saying, oh, no, this, don't worry about that. There's a river on the other side. And it was just weird. And I woke up and I had a real ominous feeling like, I know this means. Well, a couple of weeks later, I got a contact from one of my family members on my dad's side of the family, and she's selling some of our family land. This is land that my dad had a part in, but he sold his to pay for medical bills when my mom had her stroke. So I lost my connection to that land. And this family member is now selling it. You go through Vicksburg to get there. It's across the river. there's an Indian burial mound on it. And one of the things I kept saying in the dream was full of dead people. There's my family's cemetery is on this land.
Oh,
wow.
So everything Joe said, I mean, I totally, I'm testifying. To me, dreams, it's all in how you interpret it, because I did not interpret this, and y'all know, because I was kind of freaked out about it. I was like, what do all the dead people in my dream mean?
Right.
There's nothing but dead people in my dream. And now it all makes sense, but it's a matter of being able to take the symbolism and apply it to what comes into your real life and look at it. Mm-hmm. So,
and I do kind of see your friend that was with you, you know, he tends to be a voice of reason type, you know, a little bit more grounded than, I'm not saying that we're flighty or anything like that, but you know, I've got one of those in my life too. You know, I can easily be much more flighty than what I am, but he's the person who can bring me back down when I do, you know, start getting to that place.
It is thought that a lot of the people, well, all of the people in your dreams actually represent you and different aspects of you. And when you go to interpret a dream, it's not always, but you should always start by looking at that to see, are those all different pieces and parts of you? And it's represented because we love, you know, to use metaphors, and it's no exception in a dream. The average human, like, says 6 metaphors a minute. We like to compare everything like something else. So anyway, so we do that even in our dreams. Like that, that's always a good thing to look at. And then, of course, a lot of it is just going over the day's events and helping you to remember things you probably should have, you know, made note of or completed, or you need to come to something about. And so those are a lot of reminders. At least that's my study and my understanding, and it. Mm-hmm. Proven pretty true, but it can also be exactly literal, like what happened with that. Couldn't get almost any more specific than that. pretty darn good for a dream.
Yeah,
it's all those things. It can be all those things. It's an opportunity for our subconscious to have a word. During the day, our conscious self, you know, as hypnosis, I'm into all that, but the conscious self is always in charge during the day, but at night, the subconscious is always takes over. And it's been on record since the day we were born. Actually before, but we'll just stick with this life right now. But it has been on record. Every thought, every dream, every word, every action. It can spit it back out. Okay.
Right.
And I've been teaching hypnosis all day to 2 real people. Spewing all the same stuff that you've actually been talking about.
Okay, cool.
Your voice is so hypnotic. Hey, are you doing something, Doss? I think you need a permission slip signed or something, don't you?
Go ahead and take a deep breath. Breathe deep now.
Get me to quit smoking.
I do it all the time. I do it all the time with people. I do that.
Yep, that's awesome.
Take a deep breath and start coughing.
That was a request. I want to hear that before the show's over, though, Cecil.
Well, I know for myself, you know, and this is just, you know, like you say, you know, things that I've done. I know that over the last few months, I go to sleep to either some type of meditation or music, because if I do not have anything going, I have violent nightmares. And like I said, it's just been the last few months, and it's, I have a great time of year where I don't do anything but work. It's like I go to work, I come home, I feed dogs and everything, and then I work for, you know, 6 or 7 more hours. So I figure, you know, a lot of it is probably just stress induced, but I just happened to notice a pattern, you know, that it was the nights that I had just complete quiet that it would go off into that direction. So as long as I've got meditation or something, then I, you know, tend to either have fluff fun dreams that, you know, you wish you could like dive off into occasionally, or just what would be considered a normal dream?
I've recently had that reoccurring dream that I've talked about 100 times, but since I had my incident a couple of weeks ago, there's now fire in the house that's floating down the river with somebody chasing me, and it's weird.
That is weird.
Really?
Yeah.
So is there anything that you feel is predominant as far as, you know, that, that it could be trying to tell you?
Oh, no. No, just life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, I definitely understand that too. Yep, Carrie, I did notice at one time when I was going through a really bad period of dreams, my doctor had changed out all of my medications just to kind of start over and have a fresh start. And I'm like, why am I having all of these nightmares? And then I started reading all the documentation that came with the medication. And 3 of the 5, one of the side effects was severe nightmares.
Oh, so that could be it then, because I'm now on some much needed medication. So
and it could be. I mean, like I said, you know, and it tapered off after, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. But for that first 3 or 4 weeks, it was bad. I mean, it was very bad. So. Yep. I mean,
they,
you know,
legalized that medication here this month.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's not just for glaucoma anymore.
Right. Yeah. So like I said, you know, I do know that there are definitely outside influences, you know, a lot of times. But then, you know, I can remember back, you know, years ago, I had a lot of past life dreams, you know. And what I, you know, what I mean, I know without question are actual, you know, memories of those lives. I have also dreamed throughout my life of losing people. You know, it's like when I lost my dad, I knew for 3 or 4 months before he died that he was going to. I just did not know how and everything. And like I said, I've done that since I was young. So, you know, definitely got its downside.
That ties into like the psychic abilities, telekinesis, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're all able to do that. It's just a matter of tapping into it and trusting it.
Right.
And I think women are more inclined to do that than men. I think, because I think it's tied up to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But dreams are all part of that. I mean, it's a way... Because when you're dreaming, your higher self is the one that's in control. It's the one that's, you know, because your lower self is resting, but the, you know, the other part of your brain is zooming around, and, you know, it's not hindered by your reality, so to speak.
Right, right. And you know, along that line too, I tend to see things sometimes more clearly, you know, when I'm in that dream state. You know, it's kind of like that whole place that's between like deep dreaming and everything. I can usually a lot of times, you know, work through things that I've been putting off or, you know, not paying attention to.
Well, do you remember when we were working at that place that we won't name?
Uh-huh.
And I had that dream?
Yes.
Yes. I don't have nightmares, and I had a terrible nightmare, guys. It was very, very vivid. It involved people being hurt, and I don't know, Morgan, do you remember the details of it? Because, like, I don't really remember.
You know, if you hadn't have asked me, I probably could have told you, but I don't remember the details now. I don't.
It was.
Was that the one you told us about a few weeks ago?
I dreamed that
around the swimming pool.
No, okay. This one was, I was somewhere in like close to with my aunt. My aunt was saying, "Don't go over there. Don't talk to those people. They're bad." And like, what, this man was in like a almost like a fireman's outfit with a headlamp on, and he had beaten this woman with an axe. and killed her, and they were doing drugs. I mean, it was just way, way out there, not my normal dream. And I was scared.
Oh, but yeah.
At the time with work, I was working for a company that decided they didn't need to pay me anymore. That they didn't need to pay anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And it was a warning. It was warning me that I needed to leave there. And I had that dream. And I mean, and I took a couple of days off work because I needed to take a step back and kind of evaluate things. And when I did, I took that step back and everything came out. And Morgana told me afterwards, she said, you know, that dream was about working there. Because we were working in disaster recovery. And yeah, everything was very emergency service related.
But yeah, because I remember you called me early that morning, upset, you know, about that dream and everything. And you did know it was trying to tell you something, because that's what we were talking about. You're like, okay, what is this saying to me? You know, and everything. So like I said, but sometimes it does take that step back, you know, before it comes through clearly.
Well, and I couldn't see that the dream was associated with where I was working. I didn't see that at all.
Yep.
And it took Morgana saying, well, you know, fireman, disaster.
Yeah.
Acts.
Yeah.
So, but it was very foreshadowing over what was going on. And I had had a feeling that something was amiss, but yeah, I mean, I was supposedly getting paid weekly, and it took them 6 weeks to 2 months to settle up with me after I left.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That ain't too bad.
At least they did.
When you're living paycheck to paycheck, it is.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah,
that was just recently, wasn't it, Hadley?
It was last summer.
Yeah, well, I knew you. Yeah, okay.
Yep. Yep.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Yes, it was last May.
Do you all remember when, like, before the internet and everything, like after you got off work, you could go to a friend's house and sit around for like 2 or 3 hours, and then you come home and sit around for another 2 or 3 hours, and you could go to bed. Now, like, as soon as you get off work, it's like 30 minutes till you gotta go to sleep. It's weird.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Time flies when you're in the middle of a mental breakdown.
Well, Sherry, what were you gonna say?
Back when you were talking about psychic ability, we actually discussed that in our class today, because both of the people that I am teaching are both psychics. You know, around our place, everybody's a psychic, medium, yogi, Reiki master. Everybody's got 3 or 4 designations. But we were talking about about psychic. We're all born with those gifts, whether you're convinced or not, or you're accepted or not. That's, you know, you can learn to use it. And people that are, they call them natural born psychics, sometimes don't, they can get stuff, but they don't necessarily interpret it properly, because they're not looking for metaphors, signs, symbols, whatever, because think wherever that's coming from, they don't have mouths to speak or ears to hear. So they've got to relay the message to you some way you would understand it. So that's why symbols and representations, numbers, colors, all different kinds of things, and we're all different. But all of us in there were trained by the very same psychic person, so we interpret things differently. And one of the students said, yeah, she got a reading from somebody recently that was a natural-born psychic. And she said the person was reading it accurately. She knew this; she was getting the same thing herself, but the way she interpreted it, she wasn't using the symbols. She wasn't using metaphors. She wasn't like looking for a coded message. But you got to figure out what the code is, because it's going to be specific to you and your interpretations anyway. But when you finally figure it out and what things mean, it always means the same thing for you. I mean, that's how all the readers do it. Mediums, too. They do it the same way. And it's just interesting that you could have two people having the same, whether it's a vision or a thought, or some people call it a download. But if they're having the same one, but they could come to two completely different. Like, you know, Joe was saying that you could have a dream and it could, by the time you have it, or if it's something's revealed to you, it could be different. Well, but it also could be not revealed to you if you haven't like worked at it, like taught yourself and figured out how to actually interpret it. So,
well, and it also can manifest itself as deja vu.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Where you don't even know why you had the dream or what it meant. And then all of a sudden you're standing there going, I've been here before. I've done this.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Most people have had that somewhere at some time, but they don't give it much credence and they just kind of move on. But when you stop and you consider those kinds of things, or Morgana, like her dreams of past lives, if you stop and consider that stuff or write it down, you know, journaling is so important. I preach it all the time, but I'm as bad as everybody else at keeping up with it.
I don't journal. I don't have time.
But if you can make yourself do it, when you go back and look at some of your old stuff, time is not linear. I actually had something that happened to me recently, and I thought it was just kind of verification from across the veil that the things going on in my life were like I was getting like a thumbs up, like good job, keep at it, whatever. And so, but then what I thought it was ended up several hours later being something completely different. And the thumbs up was really, it was really a premonition, only I didn't recognize it. I didn't understand. I wasn't even exposed to the situation yet. So a dream, it could be a premonition, or it could be about something going on in your life, but time hasn't caught up to it yet. So it's future. So it can be past, present, or future. So anyway, because time's not
really cool. So that's always very frustrating whenever you don't understand it. You thought you did, then you found out that your interpretation was completely off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wrote it down, because you know how it is with a dream. If you get up and you like you have this dream and you're like, wow, I should write that down. But I'll go pee first. When you get back, it's gone.
Like, if you're in Minnesota, you can go outside and pee and write it in the snow. another benefit to my home state.
If I have a dream that has a lot of symbolism in it, I tend to write it down. And last year I was looking for something and I found where I had written down a dream from, this is from like 2012. It's when my ex that was in the Army and I were living at Fort Bragg. And in the dream, and this is what I wrote down, it was like he had a mouth full of lies. And this guy, in hindsight, I didn't know it at the time, but in hindsight, he didn't know the truth if it hit him. Everything he said to me is circumspect now as a lie because he was caught in so many.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, you know, if only I had listened then, yeah, I could have saved myself a lot of grief.
Hey, Alan. Well, you know, and another thing too, like Sherry was saying, you know, the interpretation, you also have to, like if you're talking with someone else about it, they may have an interpretation, but they're not you. So, you know, they may not, because I had a recurring dream that I started having when my baby brother was an infant. Now, so I was five when he was born. And I dreamed off and on, probably the last time I dreamed 3 or 4 years ago, that he was swallowed whole by a snake. Mm. You know, and to this day, I still have never been able to accurately, you know, interpret that for myself. But I was talking with a group one time about it, and this girl goes, it's sexual. And I'm like, okay, at 5 years old, I really can't agree with that. You know, if it had been, you know, as an adult or a teenager, okay, maybe. But no, not when I had it for the first time as a child.
You sure you ain't from Kentucky?
So, but anyway, so like I said, you do, if you talk to other people, it's great to talk to other people about these things and to get input, but don't take everything as just pure, unmitigated truth, you know, because
I agree.
you know.
I don't take my drink too seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a whatever kind of guy.
Mine depends on feel.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to remember them, but I'm not going to write anything down. I mean,
I've got to learn to read or not first.
Well, I've always had a very active dream life, mm-hmm. and my dreams have different. The best way I can explain it to you is there are different flavors to them, mm-hmm. and so at the age I am now, I understand like when it's just a dream, or when it means something. It feels different. There's a lot of emotion associated with that, and when there's a lot of symbolism like that I remember, like, and when I talk about like symbolism, I'm talking about if there's like a bunch of bears and a bunch of rocks and crystals and there's a formation and a certain pattern, you know, and I'm remembering all of this when I wake up, that's stuff I need to remember and I need to write it down. If it's something like me and Alexander Skarsgård are skiing in Vale, you know, that's kind of just like, oh, that's a good dream.
Yeah. I like Bill better. He's got that wonky eye.
You like Vampire Bill?
Yeah. Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, you like Bill Skarsgård. Okay, I thought you were talking about True Blood. No, but yeah, so like I said, they have different feels. Some of them are just, you know,
fluffy.
Different.
Just fluffy dreams.
Yeah, just there to, you know. Are they like watching a movie? Do y'all have those?
Yes, absolutely.
And I know if I see someone I know in a dream that it means something, because I don't normally see people. Mm-hmm. I will see like a shape. Like, I know that's you. But to me, our energy is so different. Like, it can be Joe and I will know it's Joe, but it might not look like Joe. It might look like someone totally different. Mm-hmm. But really? I will know it's Joe. And the same goes with homes. Like, if you ever go to, like, a lot of times I'll dream about my grandparents' house, and it's my grandparents' house, or it's their land, and I recognize it. But then there are other times where I'll know that I'm home, and I won't even recognize where I'm at. Hmm. You know, it's just that feeling or knowing that you know where you are, but it's a place you've never been. And then there are the past life ones. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sherry?
Well, I'm saying as clear cognizance, which is clear knowing. You just know it. You don't have to see it. Some people are clear cognizant. They just know. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people aren't visual, which is bad. I'm glad I am, but they have a harder time. And some people have a harder time even exploring their own gifts if it's not visual, because they expect to see things.
Yes. Yeah. I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I have those. I do past life group sessions every month, 6 people, and there's always going to be at least one that's not visual, and they think nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Then they'll say, well, but I did think about, and then they'll tell you this whole long story, and we're all looking at them going, but we thought nothing happened. They were to sit down and see full Technicolor and surround sound, and it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes, just like your dreams, like you're talking, Hadley, sometimes in your dreams you see it, but other times you just know things. So that's their cognizance.
I've been to Sherry's past life regressions, and that's how we met. And it was very powerful for me. My past lives that I remembered were always something traumatic, and I think that's why I had the traumatic memory of it. But when I went to Sherry's past life and it was guided, it was all nice stuff that I remembered.
Hmm.
So it was very different.
Yeah, I've really got to make a trip up.
You do. We need to go to the salt cave and go to one of her past life regressions.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'd like to do something like that, but I'm afraid I'd find out I was like a donkey's asshole or something.
But see, if that's what you discovered, then that would be something that you needed to know.
So. I'll tell you that the session that you have, whatever it is what your higher self chose, and it's what you needed most at that time. It never fails. Your higher self is never wrong.
Yeah.
I've done hundreds, and it never fails. It's always. Yeah.
I know that's something that I did not know this for a long time, but so many people don't dream in color, you know, and the only reason I found that out was because I was describing something that I had dreamed to someone, and she's like, what do you mean it was pink? And I'm like, well, you know, it was pink and yada yada. She goes, but how do you know it was pink? And I'm like, because it was pink. I'm like, you know, what do you see when you dream? And she goes, not colors. I'm like, okay. So then I started doing a little bit of research on it and everything. And it's amazing how many people dream in black and white.
Really?
I don't remember many of my dreams, but the few that I remember, like, are always in color. That's kind of weird to me. Yeah.
Well, they say you can't read in a dream, and I can read in dreams.
Just to clarify, when you say higher self, you're not talking about weed, are you?
No, we're not.
I'm glad you brought up that joke, because I was going to say I used to be in my higher self.
No, that would be the higher self.
higher self. Okay.
Higher.
There you go.
Sorry to break it up.
Some people called it a problem back then.
I've had some. I've had a reoccurring nightmare, and that stemmed from an event. When I was 19, I was out with my buddy, and we both had our girlfriends. It was 4th of July. We went to an Italian restaurant after fireworks. And when we were leaving, there was this guy and this girl, and they were fighting, and the guy was high. Now, back in my day, we didn't have methamphetamine, really. We had horse tranquilizer crushed up, and they called it angel dust. And this guy was high on angel dust, and he was, when you're on angel dust, you get like all powerful, and you think that you're superhuman, and you act like it, and you're really a destructive person.
Yeah.
And he was throwing this girl around, and everybody was just standing there watching. And I stepped up to the guy and I said, hey, dude, leave her alone. You know, we got in an argument. While we were arguing, the girl ran away around the block, and then he looked around. Now this really happened. He looked around and didn't see the girl, and he ran into the restaurant. So I thought, hey, cool, the chick got away, he's in the restaurant, let's get out of here. Mm-hmm. So we went and got in my van and started driving away, and the guy ran out in the street, saw me in the van, wound up and hit the side window of my, it was my dad's van, I was only 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. Hit the side window of the van and shattered it. And all of a sudden, the whole area was filled with Minneapolis cops. And the guy went and ran and hid in a house that was converted into like a hair salon. And then he dove out the window and got in a fight with the cops and bit through the tendons on one of the cops' knees. And
oh, my God.
He was just.
No wonder you write about zombies.
They threw him in the cop car, and he was a block away in the cop car, and you could hear him screaming in the cop car, clear as a bell. Mm. Okay, so like 3 years later on 4th of July, I had this dream. I went to bed a little high. You know, I mean, it was the 80s. Come on now. And it was this creepy dream of partying down in Minneapolis. I drove cab at the time to put myself through college. And I was partying with all these people in downtown. And there was this skinny guy, maybe half my size, in a camouflage army trench coat that they used to buy at the army surplus store. And, you know, he had the fake army boots, but he was so gaunt and stuff. You knew he was never in the army. He was just a poser. But, somebody turned me on to him, and he was going to sell me something. And he walks down this alley, and he kept going like this. And this is like a little guy who I could crush like a bug. But when he was in the alley and he was like flicking his head, you know, going, come on, you know, calling me a wolf and stuff, trying to get me in the alley. And I wouldn't go. And I would wake up shaking.
Mm.
And I had this like 5 years in a row, all on July 4th. And it was all directly after that incident. So I attribute it to that incident, you know, and it's just, you know, what makes a reoccurring dream and what makes them so, you know, accurate time-wise, and it was just, it just really had an effect. And it really shouldn't be, because it was, you know, one-on-one. He was just a little guy. God, it just scared the crap out of me. My story, I'm sticking to it. That's it.
That's intense.
I think that was probably a very traumatic experience to see somebody gnawing on cops' ankles.
Yeah, well, his knee, and he had to be tackled by three cops. What bothered me most about the whole incident is my buddy, my girlfriend, and his girlfriend all wanted me to stay out of it. And I looked at him and I said, and I have this hero complex because I'm bigger than most people. And especially back when I was 19, I just looked at him and I said, what if it was fucking you? No, I did not say fucking. I said, what if it was you? You know, and then I got into it, but it just really, people really who you trust kind of disappointed me at that moment.
Right.
Yeah, I broke up with her.
It's weird that bigger people always have that hero complex. I'm a pretty big person, and I do not.
No,
I like to run the other way.
You're a lover, not a fighter, Cecil. Yeah,
I read too much sword and sorcery and throughout my life, and so that probably fuels that.
If blue,
I don't anymore. I'm 62 and two replaced hips. You know, I'm sitting back taking it easy. I'll certainly call someone on your behalf.
Now, if blue lights show up, I'm definitely running the other way every single time. Yeah. Even now, like, I don't do nothing now, but if I see blue lights, I'm like, well, we're turning around and going the other way.
smarter choice, no doubt. Smarter choice, no doubt. Thankful times.
You know, I remember. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know about reoccurring dreams and why they happen and how this one could happen on the same date. I'm barely aware of the calendar. I mean, seriously.
Well, in therapy, they say that your body and your mind have anniversaries from traumatic events. And that, you know, actually, cool. My therapist had told me, like, she, this is her story, but I'm just going to share it. She just had a baby, and she said, you know, she was taking the baby to the store and she was doing this and doing that. And she said, I never told my husband this, but I got the baby in the car seat and I put him on top of the car. I went into the store and I left a baby up there. And she said, I didn't realize, you know, I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then later she realized that it was like 2 years to the anniversary of her dad's passing. And she just wasn't fully there. And she said, your body, and you know, it has memories, it knows when you've had certain trauma in your life, and it'll bring that stuff back up in other ways. It manifests in strange ways.
Well, you know, I definitely could see that, especially because, you know, you hear of people who have gotten organ donations and stuff, picking up memories from the person that they got, you know, the organ from and everything. So that to me makes perfect sense, that there are cellular levels of things in you that you remember.
Well, they've done a recent study, and they have determined, I'm pretty sure Stephen probably knows more about it than I do, but trauma is passed down through generation, like through a cellular level. So, I mean, like transplant can be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where my suspicion goes with some of this, you know, some memories or whatever passed on genetically, you know, it's kind of like the study they did with the chickens. And whenever they would fly different things over chickens that had been in a cage their entire life, you know, they could fly an airplane over a paper airplane or whatever, a ball. And they had no effect on the chickens. But when they flew a hawk over them, that these chickens that have never seen a hawk, they reacted to that.
Yeah.
And to me, that right there is something that's passed on genetically, you know.
I'm afraid of big birds. Like emus and ostriches, they freak me out. I think it's a dinosaur thing.
What? That's probably a healthy fear to have that of an ostrich.
Oh, me and Johnny Cash, you know.
Well, you shouldn't fear them if it's because of dinosaurs, because dinosaurs never existed.
They were dragons.
They were dragons.
Well, again, y'all know Johnny Cash nearly got he nearly became a eunuch after a run-in with an ostrich.
Yeah. Those things, they're no joke.
No, they're mean.
They're flightless bird, and they're not afraid to stand their ground.
Our neighbor in Clay County used to have ostriches, and we used to go steal the eggs, and come to find out they were worth a lot of money.
Yeah, even the shells.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you can even buy the shells to do crafts and stuff with.
Yeah.
But
they're not good to cook with.
I'll have to take your word.
If you're a good cook, probably, but I mean, there's too much of it. Like, it just don't fit in the pan.
Get a bigger pan. Are you too
rich?
Yeah.
Like it's turkey really, eggs.
Yeah, exactly. It's really.
She looks like around. She's got something to say about this big ostrich.
Yeah, their eggs don't taste good.
Yeah, I don't know about ostriches. I don't. But Stephen, when he was talking about what he was talking about, the generational stuff, I think the test, what they refer to it as, is the 100th monkey. Is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a fascinating study.
And so, how.
I'm going to segue for a minute because I've got y'all all together, but Sherry is my friend that is very knowledgeable about the mud flood and the giants and the rocks that prevent the EMP stuff. And she's that person.
Young guy.
So you're into the mud flood theory and everything?
Oh yeah. I got it.
So we're in the folk is doing an 8-part series on Tartaria, and we're finishing with the mud flood, so you're going to have to come on.
Yeah. She knows all about the Tartations, too.
Nice.
Tartaria. Yep. The World's Fairs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Antiquitech. Like, all that stuff up on those buildings, right?
We already did a 4-part series on the World Fairs.
World Fairs, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You'll have to look up their podcast. It's Where in the Folk.
We cuss a lot.
I never noticed.
I got in trouble last night because I cussed.
I cussed here tonight. Sorry about that.
Alan's wife said I must have been a sailor in a past life. I was like, I like the ocean.
Usually Hadley's the one that puts the top on the cuss on here anyway. And then after she does it, I'm like, yeah, fuck it.
I'm gonna get behavior tonight because I know Sherry.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you, I have a 7-year-old granddaughter that was a drunken sailor in a past life because we have finally gotten her to where she understands this isn't okay at Gigi's house. What you do at your mom or your dad's house is your business, but at my house, we don't do that at 7 years old. Yes, ma'am.
Wait till you're 15.
Getting back to dreams, I would like to have, like, I've told about this dream a lot. I've had this recurring dream since as far back as I can remember. I want to hear Sherry and Joe's interpretation of it. So essentially what's happening is I'm stuck in a 2-story house that's floating down a raging muddy river. And in it, I have the feeling that somebody's stalking me, trying to kill me. But I can't jump out. I can't leave the house, so I'm just trying to get away from them. And very recently, the house has caught fire.
Well, I just did a thing. I went to a conference in Orlando, and it was hypnosis, but it wasn't. It's like automatic writing, but automatic drawing. Giving a message. So this was intentional. They had us draw a house, a tree, and a person. We had 5 minutes, and we were given a fresh box of crayons. Everybody had to draw the house, the tree, and the person. And then at the end, they did this, like, and this is really more psychology than anything else. But when people draw the house usually represents, like, those in our life or our life or our immediate life. So if your house is going down a raging river, is there something with your house, like your physical being, something on going on with your health? It could be the house representing your health. But it also can mean, like, if you put, depending on how many windows or doors are on it, those could be actual people that either reside in the same house with you or are your immediate family. But the house itself represents, usually represented you. And all of those things actually end up representing you. Depending on how you drew them, the tree has to do with more like your past, the roots. If you did roots or if you did reaching for the sky, it had to do with, so when there's trees. And I will say with like raging rivers or any, not even a raging river, a brook, but they're all flowing. And it is from your perspective, is it flowing away from you or is it flowing? Look at the attributes of the river itself. I even do a little session about the muddy water as it's flowing away from you and through your releasing negativity or whatever, but that it's a visual when it's flowing away from you. If you're in it, you're floating, and you're escaping. So maybe, I don't know, and you're taking your house with you to escape. All these things, you got to just like look at it from this symbolic perspective. And then the people in the dream are almost always you, even when there's five or six people. It's usually different aspects of you. At least that's what the dream experts say. I always had a fascination with this, and I have several books on it. But and truly, you're the only one that can analyze your dream. Several people have already, y'all have all said that tonight. Because, you know, like in Morgana's dream with a snake. Well, what if she really likes snakes and has some? So the snake is a bad thing.
And I have.
And if it's me and it's a snake, okay, it's bad. That's really, I'm not afraid. I don't like snakes. Good ones, bad ones, in between. I don't like snakes around me. So my interpretation would be the opposite. So it's just whatever you, and that's just my, I don't know, if it helps you to kind of drill it down a little.
If I interpret it, it's going to scare the hell out of me. So I'm just not going
to. Hey, you know, kingdoms in the past have been won and lost by people who interpret dreams and how they interpret them. It's really pretty amazing how it's affected humanity over the years. I mean, even the biblical story of Joseph and his many colored coat. I mean, that's right. Whether you're religious or not, that is an awesome story, and it gives a great display of how manipulated humanity can be.
Right. Yeah, with that right there, that was, I didn't know if we were going to go there tonight or not, but yeah, that's the Pharaoh had the dream, you know, 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine, and Joseph had to tell him the dream. You know, because of that, it kept the known world from starving to death during the 7 years of drought.
Now, if Joseph wasn't a man of God and honest, he could have steered the Pharaoh very wrong in that. But as it was, it's just amazing the power that humanity has put in dreams over the years.
Right. You know, and yeah, you're absolutely right, you know, because of dreams or misinterpretations of dreams, kingdoms had been lost because the king went into a battle because of a misinterpretation and lost his kingdom.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. Kind of sad back then, but we're older.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, we can say we're over it.
Right. Well, and one thing different would have changed everything that exists as it does today. You know, it could definitely have ended much, much, much worse.
Yeah. I mean, the Egyptians, they gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah, which literally interpretation, it means savior of the world.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's what it means.
And then in the end, he only headed up one tribe.
Yeah. Well, he did receive a double blessing, you know, and his sons basically became tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. So it's a, That's another one of those hidden things.
You know, that's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I think that story is so representative of so many different aspects of how the human mind works. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, that wasn't the only dream that Joseph interpreted. You remember the baker and the wine tester, or the other guy.
Yep.
You know, Joseph interpreted their dreams and told them one, you'll be restored, and the other one said, in 3 days, you're going to be dead. And it came to pass just like that, you know. I don't know what they tried to serve Pharaoh.
Well, the prisoners.
Yeah.
The prisoners, the interpretation then, that's kind of what got it all started, but.
Yeah,
we don't want to turn this into a religious discussion. It's just really cool how it's affected humanity and decisions, and you know, wars lost and won, and marriages made. You know,
yeah, dreams have always been a very, very important part of human history. You know, whether they were religious or non-religious, you know, whatever.
Well, Stephen, tell us about your dreams.
Do you want the most recent one? I've had two in the past few months that I've been able to remember. For me, I'm not saying I dream any less than anyone else, but it's a very rare thing if I ever remember one. And the one that happened most recently, it woke me up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was able to go back to sleep. And then it woke me up again about between 5:30 or 6. And the second time, I just stayed up. And what the dream was, I was outside, and there were planes falling out of the sky, basically free falling out of the sky. Some of the planes were like private personal jets. That were falling from the sky and crashing and burning. And some of them were like passenger planes. You know. So I woke up from the dream, then I went back to the same dream. And that's very rare for me.
That's so.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it's,
I wonder if I told the dream interpreter that I dreamed that I was married to Jessica Alba, if he would encourage me to pursue her. I don't think any other man has ever had that dream. So.
Yeah.
So I want to. Have your sweet wife come in to see whether or not you're going to survive if you pursue it.
You know, that's the beauty about being married to someone for 40 years. She knows you're full of shit.
Exactly. Exactly. So. But all right, guys, we're getting about to that time. Last thoughts?
We have a question.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
How do you choose your topic for your podcast?
I get bored writing stuff out.
I don't know how they came about, but Morgana sent us a 500-page book one time that had all the topics on it.
She's organized. There's a spreadsheet.
There really is a spreadsheet, but it is a fluid spreadsheet. So
if you want to add something, tell her.
They'd like to add, we can rearrange stuff.
Right.
I want to say something, though. I think this is a record because we stayed on topic essentially from beginning to end.
It's been a good topic.
Yeah.
I want to finish with a message to the audience out there. This is wholly original, invented by me just right now. So dream. The impossible dream, people. I know you've never heard that before.
I love that. May I use that?
You may. You may. Just
thank you so much.
Pay my non-existent agent.
Okay, I will do that. I will do that. But yes, Ms. Sherry, if there is a subject you would like to broach, I will send you the list so that you have it. But like I said, yes, we're definitely fluid.
Oh yeah, it's.
I was just curious. I was just wondering, and do you already have the topic for your next one?
Yes, as a matter of fact,
what is it?
Would one?
That's a good idea. We should probably know that.
Before. Oh, actually, I think is it at, Labor Day weekend next week?
Yeah, it's free for all, right?
We have a free for all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that means bring your topic and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the week after that, we are talking about Mali's Dogon people and the Sentinelese. It's groups that haven't been exposed. Yeah.
Very few of those left in the world now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, just a handful. Yeah. So like I said, like,
next week we could bring anything we want and talk about it.
Yes. Sure.
Within reason, Joe. I mean, I don't want any measuring sticks.
I'm in.
Got some inside information into what Joe might be.
Yes. Well, Miss Hadley has the switch to turn people off. So
I do.
Oh, it takes a switch. I've been able to do it naturally my whole life.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And until next time, stay weird.